This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
It's time to get green. Doug Oster and Jessica Walliser are here. All natural, no pesticides, no artificial ingredients. The Organic Gardeners are on KDKA Radio.
It is Doug Oster. It is Jessica Walliser. It is the Organic Gardeners. And it is your opportunity to phone in right now and join them, 866-391-1020. It is also your chance to win a $25 gift certificate from the amazing folks out in Wexford that is Sorgles, if you're the 10th caller at 412-922-1020. But the idea of the show is to get all of those questions answered. So I highly urge you to start dialing now, 866-391-1020.
Good morning. I'm Doug Oster from Everybody Gardens and the Tribune Review.
And I'm horticulturist Jessica Walliser.
Jessica brought me a present today.
He did. A big bag of cucumbers. You're a happy camper because you didn't grow any cucumbers.
I didn't even start.
Well, I can hook you up.
I had your seeds sitting there, your silver slicer seeds. I just never got in the ground.
Well, I can hook you up this year because for some reason I always overplant cucumbers. But
you must have pollinators like crazy.
I have a ton of pollinators. Those little native bees love those cucumber flowers, which is terrific. And I did bring you a couple of little extra tomatoes, too, for a bonus. I was talking about you on Friday. I was a guest on a show on Wisconsin Public Radio. We were talking about my new book, Gardener's Guide to Compact Plants, and we were talking about tomatoes. And I was talking about Sun Gold and how I wish somebody would come up with a dwarf version of Sun Gold that you could grow in a container.
That would be a good idea.
Mentioned to him about how that would make your wife very, very happy. Because isn't that her favorite tomato?
That's her
too?
Favorite tomato, yeah. It's seriously got to be 10 foot tall right now, growing up this trellis. I mean, it's just flopping over. But speaking of tomatoes, squirrels. After my, I caught a rabbit and then I caught a groundhog. I didn't even know I had a groundhog in the garden. You know, so he's in the trap, It was just I just put one little bean leaf in there from the plant, and he had the whole bean patch to eat, but no, he went in the trap. And
well, that was lucky.
All right, so I'm like, okay,
good, got all
now,
the critters.
Yeah, everything's good now, I can have beans. And I come walking in and this squirrel just goes running out of the garden, and I look down at my early girl plants and there's two tomatoes that he's just been nibbling on, the actual tomatoes. What do you do about a squirrel?
Yeah. I mean, you can catch them, too, with sunflower seeds in one of the live traps.
Yeah, I have more squirrels than
peanuts, actually, really work.
Yeah, well. I mean, I know I could catch them, but how do you know which squirrel is eating?
Live in an oak forest, you could be catching squirrels all day and all night.
What I did is I just threw tomatoes into the live trap, figuring, hey, if it's something that wants tomatoes, maybe not every squirrel wants tomatoes. Right. Trap's still open.
Right. Oh, geez.
We had him off the plant.
We have a squirrel that marauds our blueberry patch, and he crawls. We have like 8 blueberry bushes along the vegetable garden fence, and he climbs along the edge and just stands there and eats the plants, eats the blueberries right off the plant. It's actually quite humorous to watch, except that he's eating
my
blueberries. And I did find one, because I have an issue with some animal in my garden as well. Not quite as destructive as yours, but I grew these red hot cherry bomb peppers. Mm-hmm. And I had been waiting and waiting for one of them to turn red. It finally turned red. And the next thing you know, I go out the next morning, and there is the red cherry bomb pepper on the ground with teeth marks in it. But it's fully intact.
I only got so far.
I think it sampled it and was like, whoa, forget that. And it hasn't gone after any of the peppers since. So I think I bet you
that's a squirrel.
They want
something red. They want something red, and they don't even really like tomatoes, and certainly didn't enjoy that hot pepper.
Yeah, yeah. So we all have the lesson here for listeners is we all have issues with one animal or another.
Let's just say we all have issues.
Yeah, well, and I think that's not that kind of radio show here today.
Have issues.
Yeah, and I know that you were at Phipps recently saw something spectacular.
Yeah, I texted you a picture. Our friend Paul Wigman and Jessica and Paul were the original organic gardeners. They worked together. He does a lot of photography at Phipps, and they've got his pictures up. He went out and photographed all these flowers that inspired Van Gogh, because the show that's on there right now is called Van Gogh in Bloom. And I was looking at these pictures. I thought they took his pictures and, like, painted them, but they're actually the pictures. They look like paintings. They're in the Welcome Center. You should go see Van Gogh in Bloom. I'm doing a fun video there. I finally made this happen, where they have paintings from Van Gogh, and then Jordan Molino, she designs the shows. She, interpreted the painting and makes it into the show. Mm-hmm. I wanted to hear from her, but I also wanted to hear from somebody who was an expert on Van Gogh. So I have a curator from the Frick.
Nice.
And interviewed her. She had such, I know Van Gogh paintings are really cool, and I love them, and they're beautiful, but she was able to kind of, like, quantify art, you know what I mean? It was really cool. So that's a video that's coming up. But his pictures to complement the show, and I luckily got to see him there at Phipps and tell him that I was just blown away by him. The woman, Jess Levo, who does the videos with me, I said, you've got to go look at these photos. And she was blown away, too. You know, in fact, everybody I saw in the conservatory that knew me, I'm like, go downstairs on your way out and look at these photos, because they are really stunning. When this video runs, I'm going to have to do a little story about it, because it's really moving work. It's if you look at a photo and you can't tell if it's a photo or a painting.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So have you watered yet?
My containers. I haven't gotten into the garden yet. I was I worked in the garden most of the day yesterday, and I was out in our front garden on the driveway, and it is starting to get very dry out there. But thankfully, all of the plants that I have planted in that front garden are fairly drought tolerant, so they'll be able to go probably another 4 or 5 days if we don't get rain before I'll have to bring out the hose. I try not to water if possible, because I just don't like wasting that resource if I don't have to, but I don't want my garden to die, obviously.
And you're having a great season, right?
I'm having an excellent season.
What did your mom say about your plants?
My mom was in. We went to the Queen concert last week, and she came into town for a couple of days.
You are a champion.
Right? I am a champion, and I'm going to rock you, right? But anyway, so we were at the concert, but before that, she came to the house. We went out to the garden, and she said, oh my gosh, everything is giant. It's giant. It's so big. She's like, your giant my sunflowers are huge. They got to be 8 foot tall at least.
And how about a Tithonia?
Tithonia
going good?
Yeah, the surprisingly is the one in the front that the deer only ate the back half of it. They didn't eat the front half. So my Tithonia is huge and beautiful. I have a big old banana tree out in the front yard that's big. I've got my bean towers are the lushest that they have ever been, and they're like 7 feet tall. It's crazy.
It's all that rain.
Crazy. Yep.
I'm
not going to complain. Things are growing good.
And the tomatoes, for me are just, because I don't have the full sun, that's why they're stretching, but I've never had tomatoes like this. And I was doing a live Facebook thing there and showing off the tomatoes, and people were just like, Mine don't look that. Yeah, yeah. If you have your tomatoes a nice full sun, they're going to be stocky and they're not going to be 10 feet tall falling over the trellis. But geez, what a year. You can't complain about this as a gardener. Although, when I was writing about it, I was like, fungal diseases, rabbits, groundhogs, squirrels, deer, and bad bugs. You know, some people would say, why do you bother? But then you go out in the garden, you sit there for a little bit. Mine is just like filled with just all these flowers, and it's just wonderful.
Ladies and gentlemen, a little kumbaya moment there. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to congratulate Frank from Dormont right now, the winner of that $25 gift certificate from Sorgles. And when we come back, we're going to be going from Canonsburg to Paris, PA to talk to some of their fans and get some gardening questions answered. This is the organic. Don't be tough on me today. We've got lots more to come. Stay with us on KDK Radio.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners are on KDKA Radio.
Lots of calls. Time to go to work with Doug and Jess on The Organic Gardeners. First stop, Canonsburg. Here's Dan on KDK Radio. Hey, Dan.
Hi. Good morning.
Morning, Dan.
Hey, I have an endless summer hydrangea, and it's growing good. It's about 5-6 feet tall. But I got no flowers.
Dan, it's the number one garden question for Doug and Jess.
And you, all I'd like to say, Dan, is you and me both. I have a huge endless summer right by my front door, and there is nary a bloom in sight on that thing.
You know, Jess always says, if you've got a plant that lasts 3 years and doesn't do what you want it to do, you got to get rid of it. And I told that to my Nico Blue hydrangea. Well, that year it bloomed, but it hasn't bloomed since.
Right.
I scared it into blooming.
Yeah.
I planted this one last year. So it's falling on in the second year, or this year it's supposed to bloom though.
Yeah, endless summer is the type of hydrangea that's been bred to bloom on both old and new wood, so it is supposed to be a more reliable bloomer. I will say this about endless summer, is it's sort of notorious in my garden for very late season blooms, so sometimes it doesn't flower until September. It's supposed to flower twice, once in the summer and then once again in the fall, but sometimes the buds get frosted out, the ones that are supposed to bloom early in the season, and it only gets that late season bloom. So if you can keep the deer away from it, there's still a chance that it might bloom
for
you.
If you could just back up a little bit and just kind of go over how this works with a hydrangea, because I think a lot of people have this question, and when you're talking old wood, new wood, what does that all mean?
Yeah, so hydrangea macrophylla, which are the big pink and blue hydrangeas that form the big balls of flowers on there, they traditionally bloom on old wood. So the growth from this year holds the flower buds for next year. So those flower buds are they're held in what look like dead sticks over the wintertime. And then in the spring, if those buds don't freeze out, that's where will produce your flowers. A lot of times, unfortunately, they'll freeze out and they won't produce, or people think they are dead and they'll prune off those stems. And that's cutting off the blooms for that season. So the best pruning for those shrubs is not pruning at all. Just don't prune them. And it's still, they're persnickety. Now, ones like Endless Summer, which are bred to bloom on both wood that was produced the previous season and new wood that's produced in the current season, they're supposed to be a little bit more reliable. They certainly are in other climates, especially like maritime climates. If you get closer to the coast, New Jersey, up in New England,
and there's like some
they do beautiful.
Kind of newer endless summers, right? That are even are little supposed
to be even more reliable. Yeah, I haven't tried them myself, though.
But there's some other hydrangeas that both of us grow that we know will bloom. You know, for me, I love the Annabelle hydrangea. I get to stick them in. I've got a whole shrub line of them, and it's only been a couple of years. They're actually stopping my tomatoes. They're slowing down my tomatoes.
Oh, geez.
They're on the other side.
Okay. They are reliable. They bloom on new wood. You can cut them down to the ground, and they will produce flowers the same season.
But only,
those Annabelles
only
are great.
That one. So they're, just take a look at, there's a great kind of description of all these different hydrangeas on the Proven Winners site. It's called Hydrangeas Demystified, and it'll just give you a lot of ideas on all the different hydrangeas and you know, getting ones that are more reliable bloomers.
Let's say hello to Bill. Hey, Bill, you're up next, KDK Radio. How's it going?
Bill, I'm looking forward to hearing how things went here. We're talking about the yellow oxheart tomato?
That's my question. I had no luck at all because the seed didn't come up. Now, I can't blame it on myself, which I usually do, but I also raised seven different others from seeds, and every one of them sprouted and came up. But my yellow oxhearts didn't, and I was very disappointed.
Oh, yeah. We talked about this early in the season. It's called Homer Fikes Yellow Oxheart. You got a plant, Jess. Do you remember? Did you put it in?
I did. I got no tomatoes on it yet, though.
Oh, boy. This is a real winner. It doesn't sprout, and it doesn't put tomatoes on. Hooray!
Here's my question. Did you plant? I did.
I got good germination. I gave some plants away. I gave some to Jess. I've got them in the garden. I'll have to look at them. I don't know which is which. I've got them marked down below.
Do me a favor and save some and send me some.
You got it. We'll take care of you. We'll try it again. How far away is Paris from Pittsburgh? I know it's a direct flight, but
it's not far at all. It's about 20 minutes from.
So if these seeds don't sprout for you this year, I'll have plants for you. Okay, we gotta make this.
Just send me the seeds because I've never had this happen before.
I will. I'll send you the seeds and we'll hope for the best.
Okay. Well, I thank you very much.
Thanks, Bill. Good to talk to you. So no tomato.
Bye bye.
Bye bye. No tomatoes on your Homer Fikes yellow
oxheart.
There
might be tiny little ones that I haven't seen yet. They're kind of in the back of the garden. So I'll have to go look.
This is the problem with, you know, you fall in love with something in a catalog.
Right.
You know, it sounds great. Somebody tells you it's fantastic. You know, my friend who runs the company who gave us the seeds, it's one of his favorites. But you never know how it's going to do in your garden. You never know how it's going to do in your area. And I hope you get some tomatoes. I hope I get some tomatoes. I'll have to go look and see which one's which. It's all kind of a blur out in the garden. Yeah.
Spring is a blur.
Yeah, it's just like everything gets planted. It's growing. And this and okay, get the squirrels out of there. I have a rabbit. Disease. Where's the Homer Fike yellow oxheart?
Okay, enough about my life. All right. Who's next? You tell me.
How about Alex?
Yeah, how about Alex? Let's say hi to Alex.
Go back to hydrangeas.
How you doing, Alex?
Hey, Alex.
Hey, good morning, guys. You know, I turned on a little late and hope I'm not repeating something, but my wife has two pink diamond hydrangeas, and they are probably 15 years old. They turn out beautifully every year, but the one gets this real tall conical flower on it. And the one that's not more than 10 feet away, same mulch bed, and the flower's much, much smaller. It could be just a plant, but is there some fertilizer that would be advantageous to making that thing grow a little better?
Yeah, so first of all, when we were talking to the hydrangea person earlier, the pink diamond hydrangea, which is a hydrangea paniculata, it has like a conical bloom instead of a round bloom. It is an excellent, reliable bloomer. So this is a terrific hydrangea choice if, you know, you're having struggles with other hydrangea varieties. So good on you on picking the pink diamond because it's an excellent variety. Have they gotten the same treatment and care pretty much through the landscape, your two different plants?
Every year.
Every year. Thing. Everything's the same. Does one get more sun than the other?
No.
Okay.
They're not more than 10 feet apart, and they both get morning sun primarily.
Are they the same size besides the flowers? Are they, you know?
Generally, yes. One's a little lower on the landscape line, but if you were to stand next to them, yes, I'd say they're both the same size.
Sounds like we're interrogating him.
Yeah, right? Well, here's the thing. This is a hydrangea that's vegetatively propagated, which means it's a clone, right? So they take cuttings and they start a new plant from that. So all of the flowers and the size of the blooms should be consistent. However, sometimes when you have an anomaly in the soil, nutrients that are available or in the level of sunlight that the plant receives, that can cause the flower bloom size to be smaller. It can cause the plant's overall growth to be smaller. So I definitely, in this case, suspect that that's what's going on. I would use an all-purpose granular organic fertilizer, something like Plant Tone, in the spring on that plant. I would maybe not do it on the one that's already regularly sized. The other thing you could do is test the soil around the plant that's stunted and see if you have either a nutrient deficiency or a nutrient excess, and then follow the recommendations on the soil test.
All right. Thank you for the call. We've got about a minute to the break. Anything you want to talk about real quick here?
Well, again, we talk so much about hydrangeas because they're, you know, just that one little thing, the macrophylla, is just, you know, everybody grows it. It's not impossible, but it's hard to get it to bloom, but there's just so many other choices.
Those panicle hydrangeas?
Yeah.
Hydrangea paniculata, panicle hydrangeas.
There's some right out here.
Oh my gosh.
In Foster Plaza when you're driving in. We're driving in and looking at those. It's just like, man, they're just like, of course they don't get any care. They're just out there, in, you know,
right,
in an island, but they're just like blooming like nuts, just crazy.
They are, and really I love the sort of conical shape of their flowers. Reliable bloomers,
and
the
a lot
pink
times,
ones are gorgeous.
Yeah, a lot of times they go from white to pink to almost red.
Yeah.
866-391-1020. We actually have a couple of lines open for the first time today with Doug and Jess. If you want to jump in here and give us a call.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners are on KDKA Radio.
You know what we're going to do right now? We're going to give somebody the opportunity to win a $25 gift certificate from Janoski's if they are the 10th caller. And that number is 412-922-1020. Right back to the busy phones. First stop, Evan City. Here's Susan on the air with Doug and Jess, KDK Radio. Hey, good morning.
Good morning, everyone. I have two questions. I'll ask those and then I'll hang up and listen to your answer. I have plants on my patio right now that I want to bring into the house for the winter. One is a hibiscus tree. How can I bug proof my plants so that I don't bring bugs into the house? And secondly, I have a bay tree which is covered with scale. Is there any way to save it? And I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
All right, thank you, Susan.
Sure, good questions.
Yeah, definitely.
She's thinking ahead. I like that. I mean, I didn't want her to say the W word, but...
Yeah, nobody wants to hear that.
It's pending soon enough. But anyway, hydrangeas are actually... hibiscus.
Yeah, hydrangeas on the brain.
I do have hydrangeas on the brain. Tropical hibiscus are actually quite easy to overwinter indoors, but you are absolutely so smart to be thinking about getting rid of the piggybacking bugs before you bring it indoors. I always recommend using a sharp stream of water to knock any, you know, dislodge any pest used along all the stems, the trunk, the branches, the leaves, upper and lower surfaces, any of the buds. That will dislodge a lot of the soft-bodied insects like mealybugs and aphids. If you have things like scale, they're a little bit harder to dislodge from there. So in that case, I would carefully inspect the plant. You can use isopropyl rubbing alcohol, and this you could do on your bay tree as well. So regular old rubbing alcohol from the pharmacy, put it on a cotton ball and actually physically wipe the scale insects, which look like little bumps along the stem. Wipe that off of the plant, and that's a good way to get rid of it both before you overwinter the hibiscus and then also on that bay plant as well.
You know, for the hibiscus, I always like to bring them into the sun porch for a little bit.
Like a holding area.
Yeah, halfway house. That's what I call it. And for the bay, will she, I mean, she'll be able to control the scale. Will she ever be able to get rid of it?
Scale is really tough. It's really tough because it's, especially if it's a hard scale, it has that protective hard outer coating, which makes it really challenging to get rid of, even with something like a horticultural oil.
But you'll still be able to grow the bay plant. You're just going to always, not always, but
every couple of months, you're probably going to have to take the rubbing alcohol and wipe it off of the stems and the leaves. Like, that's kind of just the way it goes when you have a scale infestation. I'd never recommend, especially, you know, bay, which is an edible plant, right? It's talking about a bay laurel. You never want to use like a systemic pesticide or anything like that because it's carried in the tissues of the plant. So we definitely don't want to do that. With that hibiscus, I still have hydrangea on the mind. With the hibiscus as well, keep a very close eye on it through the winter, because if you do, normally outside, I wouldn't worry about a couple of aphids getting on the plant, but if you have a couple indoors, there's no natural predators there for them, they will flourish, and there will be many aphids very quickly. So keep a close eye out for them, and definitely cut back on your watering, because you don't want to be promoting any new growth once that plant is indoors, because that new growth is really welcoming to pests.
All right, next call is Steve from North for Sales for Doug and Jess on KDK Radio. Hey, Steve.
Hey, good morning. I have this plant and I thought it was supposed to be a cucumber plant. Looks just like a cucumber plant as far as the vining and the leaves. But the fruit that it's producing, I guess it's a, some kind of squash. I just want to know if you could tell me what kind of squash. It's like hourglass shaped.
I wonder if it's a butternut, like a butternut squash.
Was it like a plant you got from the greenhouse? Is that how this was? And it was labeled cucumber?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
What color are those hourglass shaped?
They're green still. Like a, well, they're a, with a slight, like, lighter white or lighter green.
All right. So it actually might be a bottle gourd. It's either a bottle gourd or a honey nut squash.
Yeah. You know what? When I'm thinking of the foliage, I'm thinking gourd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They edible.
Well, young bottleneck gourds are actually edible, and they're really quite delicious. Let me ask you this. What color are the flowers?
They were white.
Yeah, so it's a bottleneck gourd. Bottleneck gourds have white flowers, whereas squash and cucumbers have yellow flowers. So that's one very easy way to tell the difference. So bottleneck gourds are often used as crafting, like people make birdhouses of them. But the surprising thing
Steve is so excited. It's crafting.
Here's the thing. We in North America use them as crafting. But the young fruits, if they're picked young when they're like as big as your hand, right? They're super tasty. They're really Nikki eats them.
Well, wait a minute. Steve, what are you going to make out of them?
You can use them like a squash.
His mind is just churning. Doug. He's going to turn it into a birdhouse, into a...
Such a smart
guy. I have no... These are already like 5-6 inches tall.
Oh, yeah. There's
a bunch of them.
Okay. But if they put on any little ones, how do you eat them?
If there's little ones, you can eat them like you would eat a young zucchini, or you would eat a young crookneck squash. You can, you know, roast them, fry them, slice them and put them on the grill. You put them in soups and stews. They're really tasty. But at this point, you're better off letting them fully mature. And then,
send us a picture of your beautifully painted birdhouse.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks,
guys.
Steve.
All right. Bye.
All right. Stay with us, folks. Lots more to come with Doug and Jess. Congratulations to Paul in Canonsburg.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners are on KDKA Radio.
Time for Mrs. Know-It-All. That's Denise Schreiber. She's a grower, horticulturist, and our garden goddess. Denise, how are you this morning?
Good. So I got a couple things to say. So the gentleman who called about, actually we had several callers about hydrangeas. So he said the one hydrangea is a little bit lower in the landscape, and I'm wondering if... with all the rain that we've had, it's washed soil over the roots a little bit more. And a lot of times when that happens, it can either reduce blooming or eliminate it because the roots are actually getting smothered. So he may want to go down and take a look at that, maybe pull some of the soil away or some of the mulch maybe, and see if that helps. That's always an issue there. And then we had the lady that's smart enough to know that she's going to have problems if she brings in her plants, you know, before making sure they're okay. So the bay laurel plant, I look at it this way. Once you have scale, it is impossible to get rid of. I really say harvest what you can of the leaves, and because they dry like instantly, and just get a new plant next year rather than bringing trouble into the house. It's sort of like bringing the home invader into your home. Yeah, really and truly. Now, with her hibiscus, I get this question all the time. So when you're bringing the hibiscus in, I really like the idea of, you know, hitting it with a hose, knocking, you know, anybody off. But when she brings it in, she needs to, people think plants need to be as warm as we do during the winter, and they don't. So if she has a room that she can keep cool, like down to like 55 degrees, if at all possible, maybe a spare room that has good light, that's the place to actually put it. And I know people bring them in and they're like, oh, my plant's blooming. It's so happy. It's like, no, you've got to pull those blossoms off. This is not the time of year for the plant to be blooming.
And that is a really important thing to keep in mind, that we want the plant to not be actively growing at the time that it's supposed to sort of be dormant naturally. So the cool room is a great idea. I put mine in the garage for the winter. It's an attached garage, doesn't get below freezing, and they do just fine in there. So
I know this is cool. I know this is wrong, but...
Oh, what?
If they flower inside...
You just let it go?
Yeah, I love it. It's wrong, though. Don't do it.
You do a lot of things wrong. Well, I'm just saying.
I know. Let's get a good career doing it that way.
Steve in McKeesport for Doug and Jess on the Organic Gardeners.
Hey, Steve.
Good morning, all. I'm having a problem with brown rot on my peach trees.
Oh.
I have two peach trees, and one of them, you know, the rot was evident on it last year. And this year, the second one that didn't have it last year, now, you know, I can now see it on there. And I, you know, I've sprayed the tree, you know, I normally spray the trees with neem oil and, you know, clean up everything and, you know, keep them airy and pruned, but I don't know what to do now.
Yeah, this is a tough year for fungal diseases, and, you know, brown rot on peaches is so prevalent in years of wet weather, for sure. While neem does have some fungicidal properties, it's really not the best thing to be using to control fungus on fruit trees.
Okay.
You know, you're doing the right thing. You have to, when you say cleaning up, that is of the utmost importance with peaches. You have to pick off any of those, we call them fruit mummies, which are sort of the shriveled up brown mummies of the dead peaches. Those all have to be plucked off of the trees and off of the ground because they're actually just like a giant ball of spores.
And what about foliage?
That will inoculate next year. You really should clean up the foliage at the end of the season too. That's a little bit more challenging. It's more important to get those dried up mummies of the fruit out of there. For me, I like to use the fungicides based on Bacillus subtilis, and the brand name that I like is one called Serenade. It's widely available. It's an organic fungicide, and it works great against brown rot. You have to follow label directions.
And when do you start that?
And you start it very early in the spring, like when at petal drop is the first application of it. So it is effective, but you have to do it according to label instructions.
Okay, I had read something that basically said if you get it 2 years in a row, you know, cut them down and start over again. And I didn't want to do that.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't do that.
No,
yeah, definitely don't, because it takes peach trees a number of years before they even begin to produce in the first place. So
you start with the fungicide early in the season and keep up with it though, Jess. That's
right.
Important.
It is super important, and of course we want to avoid using any synthetic chemical based fungicides because they are extremely damaging to pollinators and soil microorganisms and potentially humans as well. So that's why that Serenade is actually a great product for, and it works great for brown rot on grapes too. If you're a grape grower and you have that same issue, excellent choice for that.
And Steve, we always say peaches will break your heart, and they do.
And it's so sad, isn't it, when they're on there and they're looking so good. And
do we have time, Rob? Yeah. All right, Brad, what's going on?
Hey, first off, I have a new name for Jessica, Mrs. Know-it-all number two.
She's Mrs. Know-it-all number one in my book. No offense, Denise.
Another thing, my hydrangea is beautiful. It's bloomed every year for 6 or 7 years now we've had it. It looked like a big white snowball bush.
Great. I wonder if you have the Annabelle that Doug and I love so much. That's such a reliable bloomer.
Might be.
It's really beautiful. And it gets pink when it's getting done.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a deterrent for the animals. My son-in-law puts little stakes around at different places, strategic places in the garden, and he soaks it with cologne. And there isn't anything bothers our garden, not even bears.
Is it a particular brand of cologne?
No, just any kind of cologne. They just don't like it. That chews them away. And believe me, we have animals. There was four deer right in my backyard yesterday morning, about 25 feet my back porch. And there's lots of animals around here. Skunks, groundhogs, squirrels, whatever there is.
Rob, can we borrow some of your high karate?
But if you see an animal, that's well groomed, then you might. Then you might have an issue.
Old Spice.
Yes.
Old Spice. That's interesting.
That's a good one. That's a good idea.
I've never heard of that before.
When
that's
I saw
awesome.
You look at Doug and go, Brad's onto something.
I think he is onto something. That's actually a good idea.
That's interesting. I might have to try. you know, people talk about like the Irish Spring soap, mm-hmm. putting that around. I have success with that for like, you know, a day or two.
Yeah.
And then it stops working. They get used to it. But the cologne thing could be really interesting. And there's some really good and some really bad cologne out there. So I wonder if there's like, we could do a test.
Oh,
like, you
boy,
know.
that's a blog post if I ever heard one. Thank you, Brad. That's a great idea.
Interesting. That you're going to smell that out in your garden all the time.
If it keeps the squirrels off my tomatoes,
it'll be worth it.
I'll take it. Remember, the organic gardeners always aim to create a better place to garden.
And a safer place to live.
All right, good stuff. Thanks, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.